Blog Talk Radio.
Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, and somatic body psychotherapist. In my counseling and coaching, I help men and women just like you to heal their bodies and their relationships through love. My Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series and my romantic novel, Love in the Blizzard of Life, are available at Amazon and Smashwords. Please join today's guests, Iris Ben-Ruby, John Gray, Ariel Ford, and other leading love experts on the Passion and Romance Summit coming up very soon. On Tuesday, March 17th, I will introduce my new 30-day love challenge to help you finally create the love you want in your life. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can, and often does, get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. On today's show, I'm speaking with Iris Ben-Ruby, a remarkable therapist who has brought together an amazing group of leading love and relationship experts, each one interviewed by her personally for the Passion and Romance Summit starting on Monday, March 16th. As an experienced therapist, she listens carefully and finds a way to reframe and summarize what her expert has just shared so that the viewer receives two therapeutic perspectives at once on the same issues. Iris Ben-Ruby is the founder of Simply Success Coaching and coaches people who are interested in transforming their sparks of tension and conflict into fireworks of passion and intimacy. And she teaches a woman how to understand and appreciate her man so that he can love, adore, and cherish her and really give her what she wants and needs. Iris is an inspirational and charismatic speaker that is renowned for her no-nonsense approach, spiked with humor and wit. She has made guest appearances on television shows, including Slice TV and Women's Network TV, and hosts the Awakened Relationship Summit, now in its seventh season, with participants from over 125 countries. A series of interviews with experts who teach you how to create deeply passionate and intimate loving relationships with yourself and with a partner. Iris has traveled in 47 countries and backpacks yearly with her two children through South America. When she isn't traveling, Iris really enjoys riding her motorcycle, dancing salsa, and jumping trampoline. And trampoline is so good for your health. I'm delighted to introduce Iris Ben-Ruby, and I can't wait for her to tell us all about the upcoming Passion and Romance Summit and her own work. And so, Iris, welcome.
Thank you so much, Dr. Erica. I'm so thrilled to be here, part of your show. So thank you for having me on.
Well, I'm happy to have you. So I'm going to right away ask you to tell us about yourself, your background, training, and your refreshing and different approach to working with your clients as individuals and couples.
Well, let me start that I haven't always been a psychotherapist and life coach. This is my fourth career. And I kind of fell into this by mistake when my daughter was 12, which was, almost 20 years ago. She brought home this letter for anybody who wanted to teach parenting. Now, at the time, I was pretty arrogant. I figured, I don't need any help with how to parent. I'm a good enough parent. But I wanted to learn how to stand up in front of a group of people and deliver some information without shaking. And then what happened is I took those principles that I learned and happened to apply them to my kids and went, oh, my God, this is so much easier. This is what I want to do for other people. So I went back. I got my master's. I became a psychotherapist, did that for several years. And then I got my training to also become a life coach so that I could offer people either life coaching or psychotherapy depending on where they were at in their life. So that's kind of the short answer as to how I got to become the psychotherapist and life coach.
And I have some questions about that. I mean, I'm excited about asking you about this upcoming Passion and Romance Summit. But first I want to ask you more personal questions. And one of them is, what do you see as the difference between being a psychotherapist and a coach, and why would someone want to do both of those?
All right, so the way that I see it is that the psychotherapy is like being an archaeologist. So it's actually digging into your past and seeing what's there that needs to be healed. There's a lot of things that we learn and come away with from either our family of origin, which is our parents or siblings, maybe our aunts or uncles, or it could be a teacher or a religious leader or friends that really impact us and sometimes negatively impacts our life as an adult. So it's about going back and healing those things in our past. Life coaching is really like being an architect, so that once you have this healthy foundation, you get to decide what kind of building you want to put on that foundation. Do you want a two-story, a one-story, a mansion? So we start to define what do you want your future to look like? And we start to take action steps to get to make that happen, but also to see what the obstacles are that get in your way of creating life the way that you want it. So that's kind of how I view the difference between the two. And they're not always so clear. I find that in my work that sometimes, you know, as a life coach, I have to go a little bit into psychotherapy. Or as a psychotherapist, sometimes I have to put on my coaching hat. So that kind of gives an outline of how I see both.
Well, I also happen to have both trainings, so I do understand it. So I have another question. So if a person has a problem, how would they know whether to seek a therapist or some kind of counseling or to go for life coaching?
Well, that's actually an interesting question. And I'm not sure that I can just answer that off the top of my head other than to look at, is this come from the realm of beliefs? So we create beliefs when something happens in our life and it's anchored with emotion. It creates a belief for us, and that's kind of how we run our life. So the way that I look at this is that, especially in psychotherapy, there's going to be some in coaching as well, is that, you know, let's say you go buy a used car and you sign on the dotted line. Now, if you haven't read the fine print, it doesn't matter. You're still bound by it. We have a whole bunch of fine print in our brain someplace of things and decisions we made from our childhood, and that those are the things that in psychotherapy and some in life coaching as well that we're bringing up to the front so that we can decide, are we still committed to live by that clause, or did we want to scratch it out, initial it, and replace it with a new clause that might reflect a healthier belief? And a lot of that falls into the realm of psychotherapy. Again, life coaching is more about what am I going to create in the future, what gets in my way, but it's not as deep as the work that's done in psychotherapy.
So it seems to me that a lot of people could benefit from going deep into their background through psychotherapy, and then after they have a good handle on what their past has been and what is influencing them now, then they may reach out for coaching to create exactly what they want and get some assistance there.
Absolutely. I truly believe from the bottom of my heart that every person can benefit from psychotherapy, not because there's something wrong with them, but because we make decisions as children through the eyes of a child in a way that's going to help us keep ourselves safe and keep ourselves connected to the people we love. So we may have had a great childhood. We may have had very loving, supportive parents. But there may have been one thing that we made a decision about that may not be based in reality. And let me give you a quick example of myself. When I was 8 years old, we moved to France. Well, what I remember as a child, my dad moved to France for a month. He set us all up. And then me, my brother, my sister, and my mom, we all moved to France. Well, when I was 12, we moved to Canada. So my dad, again, moved to Canada for a month, set us all up. Me, my brother, my mother, and my sister moved back to Canada. Well, in my world, my dad abandoned me. When I talked to my dad about 4 years ago, he said that never happened. I only went for a week, and I came back to get you guys on both sides. But in my world as a child, that week without my dad represented a month, and I felt abandoned. Did he truly abandon me? Absolutely not. But I made the decision as a child that he abandoned, and that infected my relationships with the men in my life, and especially with my husband. Every time he'd get angry and walk out, I would feel anxious. And so we want to identify those things that may create us, for us, upset or suffering. And that there's nothing wrong with us, but it just is a place where we can tease out those causes, those decisions, those beliefs that we have that no longer support us as adults. They worked for us as children. They were adapted for us to help us keep us safe, keep us connected and loved. But as adults, we want to look at them and decide, is that what I'm committed to, or am I prepared to replace them with healthier beliefs that are going to support me as an adult in creating what it is that I'm committed to?
Yeah, that was beautifully explained. Thank you. So now I have another question. Pretty soon we'll get into talking about the summit, but I have some important questions. This one is, with the high level of divorce and probably an even higher level of people who stay in relationships but are really unhappy, unfulfilled, what do you believe is necessary to create a loving relationship? And I have another question. Is it attitude? Is it skills or strategies? Or is it choosing the right partner? What is it?
I'm going to say it's all of those. But underneath it all, my primary that I love to talk about, that I really think makes the biggest difference to people, is intimacy. And what I mean by that, somebody wrote the word intimacy in a different way so that we can just get a different sense of it. And they wrote into me, see. So I-N-T-O-M-E-S-E-E. And what that means is about having a level of transparency with our partner. But even more important than that is having that transparency with ourselves. There are so many times that we avoid painful thoughts or feelings that we pretend are not there. How many times, you know, has anyone been in a situation where they don't feel respected, loved, heard, or seen, where we haven't said anything and we've kept ourselves quiet? And what ends up doing is many people tend to suppress those emotions so that they don't have to deal with that, which means that when you're interacting with a partner or anyone, you're interacting at the superficial level because you're not comfortable with some of the emotions underneath that. When you get comfortable with intimacy, and it really does take a lot of courage, intimacy is about being open. And when we are open with our partner or with ourselves, it feels like we feel vulnerable. It feels like there's a risk to our very being that we're going to die. But once we can get clear on what it is that we feel and we can own it, then we can step up and create healthier communication with our partner and just explain what it is that we need or we want. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolute sense. And the problem very often is that the partner is not willing to be intimate. So if one person is being vulnerable and open and the other person is brushing it off and insulting you or doing something in return, it can be very hard to be intimate.
I agree. And one of the things that I'd like the listeners to take away is that you can learn to be intimate with yourself. You can learn to have a greater level of intimacy with your partner just by shifting your own views and your beliefs around intimacy. Because once you get really in touch with what you're feeling, what it is that you want, what you're committed to, then you have more of a voice to speak up for yourself. Now, this tends to shift your partner somewhat. You can't make your partner anything. All you can do is to change yourself so that you can stand for what it is that you're committed to. Now, the other piece that I want
to...
Go ahead.
Yeah, to hear your own voice and to stand for what you're committed to, that is so powerful in a relationship.
Absolutely. And the other piece that I wanted to add to this is that we choose partners for a reason. We choose them to heal the wounds that we have from childhood. And we tend to pick the partner that reflects the wounds that we have from the parent that we either had more issues with or a combination of both parents. So a relationship is usually one in which we get triggered. But it's also an opportunity for us to heal our wounds from childhood. It's great if our partner can step in and help us heal. It happens faster and with greater ease. But like you said, sometimes not all of our partners are conscious or able or willing to do that work, and that we can learn to heal our own wounds from childhood in relationship, but on our own.
Absolutely. And then you said something else, that there are different components of intimacy, SWIFFS. Can you just quickly explain that?
Yeah, so I call them our SWIFs. So let me just say that, you know, what we crave the most in our life is to be seen by another, to be heard, to have someone witness our life. And, you know, after we have safety, a roof over our head, food and shelter, then the next thing that we want is that level of connection with another. So I put together that acronym that represents all the different components of being intimate with somebody, of creating the into me see, of creating the transparency. And so S is our strengths. So we want to share with our partner our strengths. Now, you would think that, of course, strengths, everybody would share that, but it's not true. How many of us have grown up with, you know, don't get too big for your britches? Who do you think you are that you get to stand out in this? Or, you know, if we talk about our strengths, that somebody is quick to cut us down, so we learn to minimize our strengths. And an easy place to look for this is a discomfort with compliments. And so that's a place for people to look at in terms of owning their strengths and sharing them both with ourselves. I'm going to say our relationship with ourselves, the intimacy with ourselves, is number one. When that is healthy, we will create and attract a healthy partner. So did you want to say something about the strengths?
Just that when we are in a not-so-healthy relationship, it's hard to express our strengths, because the partner might be threatened by it and might put it down. And if you don't believe strongly in your own strength, it's hard to take a stand for it. So that's why it always comes back to you, to that intimacy with yourself.
Yeah, because exactly what you said, because if we're dependent on our partner valuing our strengths, then it makes us, just like I said, dependent on them. It means that we can't own them unless they agree to them. And the work for us is to just simply own our strengths, because they're ours, not whether somebody agrees with it or not.
That's a powerful way to live, and that is a goal. So let's continue with the other letters in your acronym.
The W is just the opposite. It's the weaknesses. So what am I weak at? Let's say you're weak at speaking up for yourself. So it's sharing with yourself and being honest. I have difficulty with that, or sharing that with a partner. I have difficulty standing up for myself. That's my weakness. My weakness is that I'm a pleaser. Now, the I stands for insecurities. What are you insecure about? It may be, you know, that you failed high school. It may be that you feel you're not smart enough. It may be that, you know, you're afraid of heights, something, you know, really simple. Actually, that's going to fall into fears. But just, what are you insecure about? Is it about speaking in front of a group? Is it about, you know, making your dreams come true? So, you know, I'm going to invite people that are listening to write down these letters and to maybe start to make a list of what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What are your perceived weaknesses? What are you insecure about? The first F are, what are your fears? So what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of speaking up in a public environment? Are you afraid of doing presentations? Are you afraid of heights? Are you afraid of marriage and commitment? These are all things that create...
Or are you afraid of being so good that nobody will want you, or so intelligent, too intelligent? That's what someone told me recently.
Absolutely. And so, again, all of these components are in order to create emotional intimacy with yourself first, so you can own your strengths and your limitations. And then that creates, when you feel comfortable, when you can own that in yourself, it becomes a lot easier to share that with a partner. And let me just do the last F. So I said fears, and the last F is failures. So things that you failed at. Maybe your business went bankrupt. Maybe you had a miscarriage. Maybe you had an abortion. Maybe you failed high school or university. So the problem with our failures or our fears is that we often attach to them a meaning that creates guilt and shame. And when we have guilt and shame, we shut down our vulnerability because we're afraid other people are going to judge us. And then we shut down our vulnerability, we shut down our intimacy, which means that we're connecting with people on a superficial level. And the example, quick example, I want to give you a metaphor. You can be snorkeling at the top of the water, and you can see all the beautiful fish at the bottom of the lake or the ocean and really enjoy it. Or you become a scuba diver where you get to go down and be with the beautiful fish in the ocean. So you get to be the observer or you get to be the participant. The deeper your level of emotional intimacy with yourself, the more you become a participant in life rather than the outsider that's looking in.
That's beautiful. Okay, and the final S?
No, so that was just plural. S-W-I-F-F.
Oh, okay, so there's no S at the end. So
no.
Swift. Oh, you call them Swifts because it's plural, because there's many.
Yes.
That's beautiful. What an image for intimacy. And if someone really follows this, they have an opportunity to create real intimacy. Now,
and can
I know that you
can have I just jump in 1 second? Dr. Eric, I was just going to take a moment, and if the listeners are willing right now to start this work on the Swifts, they can start to create intimacy right now with themselves. So this is not something that you need to take years to work on. You can change that right now and transform the level of intimacy. It doesn't go from 0 to 100. This is a process, but making this list will allow you to get clearer and more in touch with who you are and what you believe you are.
Wow. I know that you have an exercise that you can share, but before we do that, I would love for you to tell us about this upcoming Passion and Romance Summit. First, how did you get this started? And then maybe share a little bit about what to expect on the summit.
All right. So I'll tell you, you know, this is my 7th season of doing the Awakened Relationship series. And what I found, and I'm sure you found the same in your work, Dr. Erica, is that everyone is hungry for romance, for love, for passion, for connection. That's one of the parts of ourselves as humans that's built into our system that we all crave. And at the same time that we're all afraid of, because it creates vulnerability. And the problem is that most of us grow up in a family that does passion, romance, love, intimacy in a particular way. And we become adults that either do it the exact same way or do it the exact opposite way. And so what I decided to do, seeing that with my clients, I decided that I was going to gather some of the world's top experts that have the strategies so that you can find a middle ground in the healthy coping mechanisms, the strategies, the tools, the tips that you can begin right now to shift your relationship, whether you're in one or not. You can start to learn the tools so that you can shift how much you love yourself, how you perceive yourself, how you are able to accept and shift what you think are your limitations. And it also teaches you the skills that you need in relationship to create a healthy relationship. I mean, we know that our divorce rate in North America is now going over the 50% mark. And my belief truly is, one, we live in a very disposable society, but two, most of us haven't grown up with parents who have the skills to be able to deal with tension and conflict and be able to resolve it in a win-win. And so what I've done is, you know, even this summit coming up that's in less than a week, is I have some of the top experts that are going to teach you how to have healthy communication, how to deal with discomfort, with tension, with conflict, how to find your voice to speak up. If you're single, you're going to learn some of the top things that get in the way of creating passion and romance. If you're in a relationship, you're going to learn some skills that you can start right away to create more fun and play in your relationship. And you're going to learn a lot of tools on how to shift your beliefs about yourself, because as you shift your belief and love of yourself, you change your vibration, the people in your environment begin to shift with you, and if you're not in a relationship, you begin to attract someone that's more in alignment of the level to which you love yourself. So I tell women, if you want to be treated like a queen, you need to treat yourself like a queen. And once you treat yourself like a queen, you will attract a man that you can treat in turn like a king. Like attracts like.
That is so true. So there are two things. You said that you have a little exercise. Do you have a quick exercise that you can do?
Yeah, and I'm going to do this in maybe, you know, 30 seconds. It's something that you can spend a whole lot more time. But so the two typical ways that I like people to start to get more in touch with themselves is either one, to sit quietly and journal. And that means to spend 20 minutes writing nonstop. I mean, those of you that have heard The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, it comes from her program or her book, where she says to sit down for 20 minutes and just keep writing. Don't take your pen off the page. Even if you're writing, the sky is blue, I don't know what to say, oh my God, I've got another 15 minutes, and then you'll tap into something, and you may write for another minute or two, and you may run out of things. But what that does is the writing continuous will allow you to tap into things that you haven't known about yourself. The second thing, and you can ask yourself some questions before you do that. The second way to do this is to go out into nature. Go into a forest or a trail or around a lake and just start to pay attention to the sound of your footsteps. Listen to the wind. Perhaps you pick up a smell, either the salt or the earth or a hot dog stand, whatever's in your environment, and start to get really grounded into your present. And begin to ask yourself questions like, what am I not willing to admit to myself? What dream have I had that I've given up on? If I could wave a realistic magic wand, where would I want my life to be in 12 months from now? So those are some of the questions that they can start to use before the walk, during the walk, before the journaling, and just tap into their unconscious. Be quiet long enough so they can tap into a different part of themselves and get some of their own answers.
Iris, that was just wonderful. But our time is running out. Just quickly, can you give someplace where people can reach you if they want further information from you? The Passion and Romance Summit is listed on the site, so they can click on the link to go to that.
Perfect. And if they want to reach, if they want to reach me, they can reach me at iris@simplysuccess.ca. And my last thing I want to share with is my deepest desire for everyone is that this is the life we get to live. You have an opportunity to make the shifts within yourself so that you can live your dream. I've seen that with myself and the changes within me. I've seen that with the hundreds of clients that I've worked with. And so my deepest wish for you is that you honor yourself and be courageous to take the first step and begin to make the transformations you need so that you can live the life of your dreams.
Iris Ben-Ruby, thank you so much for coming today. I know that our listeners have gotten so much just from this small half-hour interview, so I can't imagine how much they will be getting on that romance summit.
Thank you very much for having me. I feel like I could talk for another 2 hours on this subject, so I look forward to inviting everyone to be on the summit, and they can get all the tools from all the experts. We have over 31 experts that are going to share with you.
Thank you again. I am your host,
thank you,
Dr. Erica Stone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com. to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond. Contact me at drericagoodstone.com for counseling, coaching, or upcoming courses. Hire me to speak at your next event. Check out my books at amazon.com and smashwords.com. And finally, sign up for the Passion and Romance Summit, where you will learn about my 30-day love challenge next Tuesday, March 17th, and you will have about 2 weeks of incredible information about creating passion and romance and intimacy in your life.